just want to start again by, I haven't said in a while, I really should say it every week, by thanking Mordechai Stern and John Rogan for arranging this year every week, for buying bagels, for setting up, for cleaning up the room no matter what shape it's in when they get here in the morning, and for taking care of the shir after the shir, week in and week out. There's a lot of people in Waterbury, a few people in Waterbury, so I want to thank them. And also this shir is sponsored for Refuah Shleimah for Naftali Tzvi Ben Bluma Racha, who's the Baba Vareba, who's been ill. I want to go away from our... Usually we talk about the coming week's parsha. I want to talk today about the coming Beinah Mitzarim, about the 3 weeks that are starting on Tuesday. Tuesday is a Tainus, a Shavasa B'Tainus. It's an interesting thing that as we're heading into the 3 weeks and as we're heading into Beinah Mitzarim, we're heading into Shavasa B'Tainus, which is the Avelus on Eretz Yisrael, the mourning for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and for the lack of Klal Yisrael Shruyim Al Admasim, Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, we're heading towards Parshas Pinchas, that a bulk of Parshas Pinchas is about how to divide up Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim. And there's also a parasha in Parshas Pinchas about the B'nai Tzlavcha, the daughters of Tzlavcha, who were, the Chazal say, were Mechavavai Sesa Oretz, they loved Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted that their chelik in Eretz Yisrael of their family shouldn't be lost to the family. They shouldn't lose the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. And I find it interesting that heading into the Zman of... that we're supposed to be thinking about Eretz Yisrael, that we're supposed to be thinking about the Geula, that we're supposed to be thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, the first parasha that we bump into in the 3 weeks is a parasha that discusses the division of Eretz Yisrael. It brings to mind the Kina that we say on Tisha B'Av that contrasts the exuberance, the elation, the joy of B'tzei Sivi Mitzrayim when we left Mitzrayim on our way to Eretz Yisrael, with the despondency, with the sadness, with the upset of B'tzei Sivi Yerushalayim when we had to leave Eretz Yisrael. I think if we could accomplish one thing in this year, and for myself as well, there's a misconception that I think is rooted in us. I know that it's rooted in myself. And if we can change that, I think it'll be a tremendous accomplishment that we could be nana from, that we could gain from for a very long time. We're used to, you know, people that are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, people that keep the Yom Tovim, that are sensitive to the Jewish calendar, we don't look at the Yom Tovim of the year as times of restrictions. We don't look at Pesach as a time that we can't eat chametz, like such a restrictive time that we can't eat chametz. Or Sukkot as a time that we can't eat out of the Sukkot. Or Rosh Hashanah as a time that we have to spend so much time in shul. We don't look at it that way. We look at it as a time that we get to be enveloped in the idea of that Yontif. When Sukkot comes, we get to be enveloped in a Sukkot. When Pesach comes, we get to eat matzah. When Rosh Hashanah comes, we get to hear the Shofar. When Yom Kippur comes, we have that closeness to Hashem. Like they say from the Gedolim, who needs to eat on Yom Kippur? We get that closeness to Hashem. The 3 weeks is not that way. I find in myself, and I've heard from other people, that the 3 weeks is much, much more difficult to look at as a time of Avodas Hashem, a time of proactive serving Hashem. It's more a time that we look at the 3 weeks as a restrictive time. The time of there's more rules, there's more things that we can't do. It's a 3 weeks is a damper on the summer. It messes up our summer plans. 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av. We look at it as a sad time, and we look at it as a restrictive time. But we don't focus on the 3 weeks as an active time, as a time to do, as a time of avodah. There's a job to do in these 3 weeks. We have a job. It's a sad time, we should be sad. What's our job in the 3 weeks? Rav Hirsch writes in the collected writings, he writes, it is not mourning which is the dominant note of our days of remembrance of the Churban. The main thing is not Avelus, but searching our hearts in order to find our way back and up. That's the purpose of Avelus. Recognizing the causes of our downfall and mustering our energies for completely eliminating them from our midst. So there's a job in the 3 weeks. The job is to analyze what it is that brought us to this point of no Beis HaMikdash, of Golus, of years and years of difficult Golus, and to search for the way to find the key to go, in his words, back and up, to get out of this Golus. We have a goal. We have a job in these 3 weeks, and the job is to muster our energies to figure out what it is to get out of the goats. And he notes in the end of that paragraph, he says, it is generally not the glad, joyful, encouraging events which determine our duties and our life task. It's an interesting thing. The America feels it with 9/11 very much. That it's often not the happy things that happen to us that form our life goal, that form what we're dedicated to. Sometimes it's the sad or difficult or troubling things that rally us to accomplishing certain goals. It's an incredible thing. The Pasuk says in Eicha, in the first few psukim of Eicha, it says, "Korei defer hi siguha bein hamitzarim." All those who chased her reached her between the walls. So literally the Pasuk is talking about how Klal Yisrael was kind of cornered, how the enemies of Klal Yisrael were able to corner her. Bein HaMitzarim, like between the narrow walls, like Bilam's donkey, this week's parasha. Bein HaMitzarim. Chazal say that Bein HaMitzarim is referring to the 3 weeks. It's called Bein HaMitzarim. Between the difficult times, Lashon of Min HaMeitzar Karasika, a Meitzar is a tough time. And the two Mitzarim is Shivasa B'Tamuz on one side, and Tisha B'Av on the other side, and the 3 weeks in between are Bein HaMitzarim. And Kol Rei Defer Hisiguha Bein HaMitzarim. The enemies of Klal Yisrael were able to reach her, were able had a path to get into Klal Yisrael, Bein HaMitzarim. Certain Kedoshim said a deeper pshat in the Pasuk. And they said, and it's an incredible pshat, it's a spine-chilling pshat. He says, Kol Rei Defeha are those who searched for Hashem. Kol Rei Defeha, all those who chased after Hashem, chased after the Shechina, he siguha bein ha-mitzarim, are able to become close to Hashem during the 3 weeks. An amazing thing. The 3 weeks are a time, what a tremendous chiddush. The 3 weeks are a time that a person has the ability, we look at it as a time of being so distant from Hashem, and the tremendous Gedolim has said that Kol Rei Defeha hi siguha. Those who are searching for Hashem, maybe the whole year we weren't able to get that in, to be close to Hashem, but Kol Rei Defeha hi siguha bein ha-mitzarim. During the 3 weeks, we're able to get it, we're able to reach it. So, that means that the 3 weeks is a call to action. The 3 weeks is a time to accomplish, to do. So I want to try to define a little bit what it is exactly that we're supposed to be doing during the 3 weeks. When we think about the Golos and the Churban Beis HaMikdash, difficulties that Yidden have, we think about them in their most physical, most external sense. The Beis HaMikdash was a building that we used to go to 3 times a year to bring Karbanos, and that there was a carbon that was shechted there 2 times a day, and it was destroyed. The Eretz Yisrael is our homeland, we were exiled. There are difficulties in the most external sense. But the truth is, Chazal tell us something else. Chazal tell us this term, and it comes from a pasuk in one of the haftarahs, I don't remember which week, it comes from a pasuk in one of the haftarahs, that when Nebuchadnezzar and then Titus, the second Beis HaMikdash, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Lashon of Chazal is, Kimcha Tchina Tachin. Ground flour he ground. Just imagine the picture. He took a bag of ground flour, put it into the mill, and he ground it. It's already ground. It's already went through the mill. That's what they say about the Churban. What does that mean? That means that Nebuchadnezzar didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Titus didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Geula for Klal Yisrael is when Hashem is close to us. That's the pnimius, that's the inner geula. Geula is when our relationship with Hashem is clear. We sense the presence of Hashem. That's geula. Shechina shruya beinayim. That's geula. Golus is when the Shechina leaves us. Once the Shechina leaves us, so then memela, the Beis HaMikdash falls apart. Eretz Yisrael falls apart. Difficulties happen because we don't have that connection to Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar didn't destroy the big thing that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed a destroyed building. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina left that building, it was a destroyed building. It wasn't appropriate for it to stick around. Nebuchadnezzar just took care of the external Churban. Kimcha Tchina Tachin, he ground already ground flour. Once the Shechina left, once it was Milmaila, there was in the Beis HaMikdash Milmaila, there was no Shechina Shriya Beinayim, then Lamata, it happened Memela. You find in the Lashainas of Churban and in Geula, I'll give 2 examples, a lot of times a double Lashon. And this is the reason for it. we find Lamashal the first Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, the Haftarah, the famous Haftarah, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, which is like a double consolation. Nachamu means be consoled. Be consoled, be consoled, my nation. What's the repetition? Why isn't one Nachamu enough? Because there's two parts to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's return, and then there's the external returning to Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash. So on both parts, on both steps, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. We find in the Brachas of Sheva Brachas, we mention in the Brachas of Sheva Brachas, we mention the eventual return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, the Kibbutz Vaneil, the Seicha V'Simcha, and we say, Sois Tosis, V'Sogel Ha'akoro. Rejoice, she should rejoice. And the Akoro and Yerushalayim should be exuberant. Sois Tosis, again, a double lashon. What's wrong with just Tosis Ha'akoro? Sois, a double rejoicing. She should rejoice with the Shechinah returning, and rejoice with the external, everything falling into place, with Klal Yisrael coming back. We find many times this type of a double lashon by Golas and by Geula, because it's a two-step thing. But the first step, and the main step, and the pnimius, is when the Shechina leaves us, that's Golas. When the Shechina is with us, that's Geula. Just to say it in a little bit different words, we know that a person has a neshama. And that neshama that every person has is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is part of Hashem. Like the pasuk says, "Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam." The flame of Hashem is the neshama of man, is the soul of man. Deep inside a person is that neshama, and that neshama is a connection to Hashem. Every single human being is connected to Hashem, because his neshama is a chelak elikarina. His neshama is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ani of a person. We're talking about the me. When you say me, ani, who's me? Right, it's a famous philosophical discussion. You point to yourself. Well, what do you point at? What's the me? The ani, the me of a person, the essence of a person, is the part of him that's connected to Hashem. The part of him that life comes from. The part of him that all the goodness and all his good desires and dreams come from. That's the ani of a person. That's the neshama of a person. The neshama of a person, that's his ani. That's who he is. The shape of his face and the height of his body and the talents of his hands, that's not his ani. His ani is his neshama. What's unique about him, what's special about him, what's his essence, is his neshama, which is his connection to Hashem. There's a rule amongst Klal Yisrael that whatever exists by each and every individual yid also exists as a whole to the whole Klal Yisrael. An individual yid has a neshama, that's the shechina, that Shaira that dwells in the Yid, the whole Klal Yisrael also has a neshama. The neshama of Klal Yisrael is the presence of Hashem amongst Klal Yisrael. When we have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have a Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, when you have the clear and apparent presence of Hashem amongst us, that's like a person having a neshama. The Ani, the essence of Klal Yisrael, is Klal Yisrael's connection to Hashem. We said by Matan Torah, Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And Chazal say that Anoichi Aleph Nun Chaf Yud is stands for something. Ano Nafshis Ksovis Yehovis. I have written down and given over my nefesh, Kaviyachal Hashem said. Hashem says, I've given my soul over to Klal Yisrael. I've given my whole Shechina over to Klal Yisrael. I've connected with Klal Yisrael. That's what happened by Matan Torah. We talked about the Shavuos time. I've given of myself to Klal Yisrael. That's the Klal Yisrael's neshama. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah, when Klal Yisrael built the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, and Kruvim, and an Avodas Yom Kippur, and Karbanos, and all the things that existed in the Beis HaMikdash, and within Klal Yisrael, when they were Geulim, and when they weren't in exile, when they weren't in Golas, that's Klal Yisrael connected to their neshama. That's the ani of Klal Yisrael. There's a famous maral that the difference between golos and geula. The word golos comes from the word go, to be removed, like to be goyel, so Evan by Yaakov Avinu, to be removed. That's the word go. The word ge'ula is the same word, go, with an aleph inside it. Go'al is to be redeemed. The difference between go'us and ge'ula is the ani, is the connection to our essence. So for an individual, it's the person's connection to his neshama. For the whole Klal Yisrael, it's the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're connected to Hashem, memela everything falls into place. Bad tragedies stop happening. Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is built. The Goyim learn from us instead of us learning from them. The whole situation of the world falls into place. If we have that Aleph in Go'al, we have our connection to our essence, our connection to the Anoichi, to our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example is that it says by Noach, when Noach drank the wine and he became drunk, right after the Mabel, it says that Noach became drunk, it says, Vayigal b'soich ohaloi. So literally it means that he became uncovered, he undressed himself in his tent. But the Maral over there says that Vayigal is a lashon of galus. He was in galus in his tent. What does that mean, he was in galus? Because when a person is drunk, he doesn't have his das, he doesn't have his uniqueness, he doesn't have his intelligence with him. He doesn't have his intelligence with him, the Aleph is missing. He's not himself. He's missing his ani, he's missing his anoichi. So vayigal, the seich ohaloi. It's a very, very, very important thing to realize when we talk about the golus of Klal Yisrael, and when we talk about the geula from that golus, that the focus is not specifically the Beis HaMikdash, the focus is not specifically Eretz Yisrael, the focus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with us. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us, when it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us, that's golus. We're missing our anoichi, we're missing our ani, we're not connected to our essence, that's golus. To a certain extent, it's the difference between life and death. It's Misa. Misa, a person dies when his neshama leaves him. When his body is no longer connected to his guf. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina leaves Klal Yisrael, by Antish Abav, and over the 3 weeks, when we think about the Avelos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina hiding itself, Aster, hiding itself from Klal Yisrael, to a certain extent, it's a type of death. Just like when a person is sleeping, it's a measure of death. If a person is depressed, it's a measure of death. It's also a lack of connection with himself. When Klal Yisrael is missing that connection to Hashem, it's a certain amount of misa, a national death. We're missing our connection to our essence. We're missing our connection to our national neshama, our national connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Golus. That's the real Sheirish of Golus. Rav Dessler, in two places, says an incredible chiddush. Incredible chiddush. He says that it's possible. It's possible to have the whole Klal Yisrael in Golus, the whole nation of Klal Yisrael is in exile, but there are yechidim, there are individuals in Klal Yisrael that are not in Golus. And when you first hear that, it sounds impossible. We either are in Golus or we're not in Golus. But according to what we're saying, it's not so impossible. Golus means that I'm not connected with my inner self, with my pnimius, with my neshama. That's what Golus means. The whole Klal Yisrael could be in Golus as a whole. Unfortunately, you could have that the large segments of Klal Yisrael are not connected with their neshama. They're not connected with the Shekhinah. They're not connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not connected with Torah. But there still could be individuals in Klal Yisrael who break through the Tintum HaLev, break through the hardness of their hearts, break through the distractions of a complicated and distracting world, and connect with their essence, with their true essence, with their true neshama, with what the deepest parts of their heart really desire. And that person is Nigal. That person is not in Golus. That person is Gaal. That's a redeemed person. Like Ein Lecha Ben Chayrin El Amisha Isaac B'Tayra, a free man is someone who learns Torah. It's possible even within, Klal Yisrael could still be in Golus, and each and every one of us could take steps to remove ourselves from Golus as individuals, which eventually, of course, has a ripple effect on the whole Klal Yisrael. Each Yachid V'Yachid is Mitzdarev to become, have an effect on the whole Klal Yisrael. But each one of us, ourselves, could sit in Golus, in America, in Golus, in the middle of difficult and confusing times, and reconnect with ourselves. put that aleph inside of us. Who's my anochi? Who's me? What's my neshama? Do I feel my neshama? Do I have a connection to my neshama? Am I connected to... What are my goals? Are my goals focused on who I really am, or are my goals focused on distractions? And if a person brings the aleph into his own galus, a person could be zeicha that he himself is a nigal. One example of this in the Torah, if you want to remiss to this yisayin in the Torah, is Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. It says Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. Didn't have to say Yaakov, could have said Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. And Vayeshev is more literal, that he settled in Eretz Mitzrayim. It says Vayechi, Yaakov lived, he was alive. In Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim is the first Golos of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was in Golos, they were in Eretz Mitzrayim. They were in Golos. Mitzrayim is the Lashon of Mitzorim, Bein HaMitzorim, that we talked about. He was Be'eretz Mitzrayim, he was in Golos. But Vayechi Yaakov, Yaakov himself was so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even Be'eretz Mitzrayim, it was still Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov was still alive. He still had that full life. He was connected to his neshama. He was fully alive. The simen of someone who's nigal, who's not in Golos, who's redeemed, the simen of someone who's not in Golos is that he has the capacity to mourn Yerushalayim. He has the capacity to mourn for a Churban Beis HaMikdash. He has the capacity to feel the desolation and the emptiness of not having HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. Such a person, it's an interesting thing, and Rav Vessler says this, a person who could feel the emptiness of not having the Shekhinah is a person who himself is connected to his neshama. That's what it means. Chazal says it's a very famous Chazal, and the question on it is also very famous. It says, Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim, anybody who mourns for Yerushalayim, Zoyche v'roya b'nechamasei, he merits to see in its consolation. But the Lashon of Zoyche v'roya is wrong. Zoyche v'roya is a present tense. It should say, Yizke v'yira, he will be Zoyche and he will see. But it doesn't say that. It says, whoever's mis'abel al Yerushalayim sees in its consolation. But according to what we're saying, it's beautifully clear. Someone who's able to mourn Yerushalayim, someone who's able to feel that with everything that we have in a life and in the times that we're so comfortable, with everything that we have, it's emptiness, it's desolation, it's destruction. If we're not close to Hashem, if we don't have the Shechinah Shriya Beineinu, then it's not worth it. It's nothing. It's useless to us. It's Ephes. It's useless to us. That person is living a life of Geula. That person is Zoyche V'roya B'nechamasek. He's living close to Hashem. He's attached to his neshama. He has his Ani. And as a Yachid, at least, as an individual, he's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not sure if it's because we grew up not having school in the summer, or if it's because it's like kind of like the depressing part of our calendar. But it's interesting that we don't think of the Bein HaMitzarim as fitting in with the rest of the events of the Jewish year. We have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, Pesach, Shavuos. We look at that as a cycle. It's the cycle of the Jewish calendar. And then we have the 3 weeks. It's like we look at it like as a disconnected part of the calendar. The Bali Musa say that's a mistake. Elul is coming. Elul is coming, and Rosh Hashanah is coming. Rosh Hashanah, the main focus of Rosh Hashanah, what we're working up to in Elul, and what culminates by when we say Hashemu Elikim, at the end of Ne'ilah Yom Kippur, is to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu our King, to be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anas, Malchiyah, Zephrenis, and Shafers, to announce the rulership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur is all about, which ultimately, of course, leads to the Simcha of Sukkos. The Hakdama, we're starting now. The Hakdama to that is now. In order for us to fully be Mamluch Hashem, in order for us to fully place HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raise up HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King, we have to first realize how lonely we are and how empty we are without Him. We have to first recognize how missing color, how missing vitality, how missing flavor the world is without the apparent presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in our own lives, we have to realize how much emptiness, with all the comforts that we have, how much emptiness there is without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the job of the 3 weeks. And if we spend 3 weeks realizing that what exists in the world and what I've distracted myself with is not satisfying, it doesn't satisfy my ani, it doesn't satisfy me, then I'll be ready for El, I'll be ready for Rosh Hashanah. I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become my king. I want to be an Eved Hashem. I know Avda Dekutcha Barichu. I want to be an Eved of Hashem. That's where I'm going to find satisfaction. That's what's going to make me into a Ga'al, into a Nigal. Unfortunately, we don't feel this. We don't feel, when we sit down at Tisha B'Av, it's hard for us to cry. It's not easy to cry. It's hard for us to feel Avelus in the 3 weeks. We don't feel like we're missing much. It's a mashal, and I think I've seen the mashal, but it's an obvious mashal. We'll use the mashal that everyone gives of a king, to a king whose son is not behaving properly. And the king has to punish his son, and he loves his son. And he cares for his son, but it's necessary for him to banish his son from the palace. And it's his only son. And it's the light of his eye, and it's the whole purpose of his being is just to see his son's happiness. But the son wasn't behaving, and he had to send him out of the palace. And he sends him out. And months later, the son does not come back. So he goes to search for his son. And he searches, and he searches, and he sees in one place, in a low, rundown part of town, a bunch of beggars playing in the street. And his son is playing with them. He's playing marbles on the street, and he's eating bread crusts and stealing sodas from the store. And he goes over to his son and he says, "Don't you want to come home? Don't you remember what it was like in the palace?" And his son's like, "The bread tastes good. The marbles are exciting. I like Coca-Cola's wonderful. I'm happy here." And imagine the feeling of that father. He sent the son out so the son should learn to appreciate life in the palace. And instead the son went out and learned to be happy with less. Learned to be happy running around with beggars. Learned to be happy running around with lowlives. It's such a sad thing, but that's us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us out. He wanted us to develop within us such strong tzipia liyeshua, such strong hoping and yearning to come home, to go back to our former majesty, our former royalty. And instead we just became comfortable out here. We just became comfortable in a country that's not ours, in a golus that's not ours. We just became comfortable. We distracted ourselves with houses, with cars, with jobs, with internet, with America. We distracted ourselves. We just distracted ourselves. And we became happy with less. Much less. Much, much less. We became happy with being only half alive. That's a focus. If we need a specific focus for 3 weeks, it's to search inside of ourselves and to realize that the life that we lead and the distractions that we've distracted ourselves with are not satisfying us. That without satisfying the pnimius of my neshama, without satisfying her with Torah, with mitzvahs, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with tefillah, with ma'asim tovim, without satisfying myself with things that really satisfy me, then it's emptiness, it's churban. And that's true as a whole for the whole Klal Yisrael, and it's true for each yachid. It brings to mind the mashal of the Mesilas Yesharim, in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim's mashal, I think it's Mishem Chazal, he says to a princess that marries a ben kfar, a villager. Imagine, I always picture him like in one of these, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, one of these roaming Arabs, you know, Bedouin. Imagine a Bedouin, you know, Arab. He roams around. His excitement in life is to get a new camel. And he marries a princess who's used to every luxury in the world. And then Mesilas Yesharim says, everything that he can give her, whatever present that he can give her, is not satisfying to her. So he'll give her a nicer piece of desert meat. He'll give her a better piece of fake jewelry. Like, what could he give her that will satisfy her? Nothing can satisfy her. That's what Mesilas Yesharim says. Our neshama is like a bas melech. Our neshama is used to the fine things in life. The fine things. Torah, mitzvahs, chesed, shalom. The fine things in life. And we feed it. Not, what do we feed it? We feed it olam hazeh things. We feed it things that have to do with this world. things that don't satisfy her. Ha-nefesh lo tinoleh. The nefesh doesn't feel satisfied. That's not satiated. The realization, more than anything, the realization that life without HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a focus of my life is not life. That's not lama lichaim, that's not life. That's the focus of the 3 weeks. And then to realize how golus and how being away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being away from the hashpah, from the goodness of having HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us is causing us to suffer. A main focus of the Avelus of Yerushalayim, the Ron Chazal, is crying. Bechia, crying. Like by the Meraglim, it says when Klal Yisrael was crying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aten b'chisem b'chia shel chinam. You cried a cry for nothing, you cried for no reason. Ba'ani ekva lechem b'chia l'daris. I'm going to give you something to cry about. And it's simply we cry because we're missing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We miss HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on a little bit of a deeper level, I once heard from a big Talmud Chacham, the definition of a cry. It's a fascinating thing. What does it mean when somebody cries? We don't just cry when we're sad. We cry when we're emotional. Sometimes we cry when we're happy. What does it mean to cry? He says, crying happens when we touch very deep inside of ourselves. When something very deep inside, when we break that mechitza between what's very deep inside of ourselves and our external life, what comes out is tears. So it could be a very emotional thing. We touch something very deep inside of us. It could be a very sad thing. It could be a very moving thing. It could be a very happy thing. But when we're touched on a very deep level, that's crying. That's the idea of crying in the 3 weeks. It's crying in the search of ourselves. It's crying, touching that part of us that's not satisfied without being fed and without being exposed to the things that make it happy and satisfied. Penetrating deeper, that's crying. Penetrating deeper, exposing and revealing and touching deeper parts of ourselves, that's crying. It says that when Rabbi Akiva used to say Shir Hashirim on Friday nights, it says that Zolgu Einov Demois, he used to cry the whole Friday night when he said Shir Hashirim, Chazal say. So they ask, well, you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos. No, that wasn't a crying of sadness. That was a crying of Shir Hashirim is the most intimate description of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, that he cried just from that intimacy, just from that closeness, made him cry. That's bechir, that's crying. When a person, Rav Dessler says, when a person penetrates the Tintum Alev, a person is able to penetrate through, we have those few moments of tefillah, with that moment of inspiration, we're able to penetrate through all the distractions of the world and realize what we truly want, or what we truly need, or what we're truly missing, that's crying. The result of that is a tear. Chiddushei Arim says that if we can't sit down and cry because of what we're missing, Chiddushei Arim writes, we have to sit down and cry that we can't sit down and cry for what we're missing. We're dead compared to if we were in Beis HaMikdash. We're dead people compared to if there would be a Beis HaMikdash, if we would be all in Eretz Yisrael, if we would be bringing Karbanos, if we would have Nevi'im, if we would have Torah the way it's supposed to be, and Limud HaTorah the way it's supposed to be, if all Yidden would be Frum and Ovdei Hashem, if that picture of Klal Yisrael the way it's supposed to be, that's life. And the way we are now, we're shells of, we don't even know, we can't even imagine that type of life. If we can't cry because of the feeling of what we're missing, then we have to at least cry that we're so dead that we don't even know what we're missing. That we can cry about. And it's not a helpless crying. In our culture, we look at crying as like a helplessness. It's not a helplessness. It's a proactive avodas Hashem crying that gets us ready for Elul. It's a crying that penetrates deep inside of us and makes us recognize this is what's really important to me. In these 3 weeks, a person could change his attitude about what's important to him. And do something about it. Even if he can't, we're going to try to get the whole Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael this year. But even if I can't bring Mashiach for the whole Klal Yisrael, I'm going to bring Mashiach for myself. I'm going to put that Aleph inside. I'm going to reconnect with myself. I'm going to stoke the coals again of my neshama. You know, when you watch a coal, eventually it just develops that white coating on it, and it could be very, very hot inside, but it's not so hot anymore on the outside. I'm going to take a stick and I'm going to start banging on the coals, and I'm going to let it flare up again. That's connecting with the Aleph. I'm going to flare up again, and then I'm going to be Nig'al. I'm going to feel reconnected with myself and alive again. And it's a very, very positive crying. It's a very positive crying that could be the Pesach to a year of tremendous Hatzlacha and Simcha. It's not just, we pick up our hands in helplessness and we just cry for what we don't have. No, call on Mis'abal al Yerushalayim, whoever's Mis'abal al Yerushalayim, Zaycha v'raya b'nechamasa. It's hard in the summer. It's very, very hard. It almost feels like the deck is stacked against us. That the most gashmiistic time of the year, the most leisurely time of the year, the time that we forgive ourselves a little bit more luxury, a little bit more relaxation, that's the time of the year that we're supposed to focus on it. But let's take that nisayon and let's turn it against the Yetzer Hara. Let's look at it this way. Let's say that the summer is a type of year that's a little bit less demanding schedule. It's a little bit less that it's longer days, it's sunny outside. We can think clearer. We can focus better. We have more time. We have more Yishuv Hadas. Let's use the summer. The Yetzer Hara wants to distract us with the summer. We're not going to do that. We're going to take the summer, we're going to use it against the Yetzer Hara. Take the relaxation of the summer, the beauty. Summer is beautiful. Take the beauty of the summer. We'll sit by lakes and rivers. We'll sit by mountains. We'll go on long drives, and we'll spend time thinking about what's important. What's important to us and what's important for Klal Yisrael. And then we'll be Zeicher, like we're going to say in the Haftarah after the Haftarah after Tisha B'Av. Like we say in the Kinnis of Tisha B'Av. Sasain v'simcha v'nas yagain v'anacha. Happiness and rejoicing and all anguish and tzar will run away. B'shuvi l'Yerushalayim, when I return to Yerushalayim, and it could be B'shuvi l'Yerushalayim will be the whole Klal Yisrael, but at least l'chol hapachas B'shuvi l'Yerushalayim will mean that I will return to Yerushalayim. I will be Nigal.